for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, December the 27th, 2002. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Mildred Coffey is the teacher on the afternoon.
The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Bless my bottle of water upstairs. Praise the Lord. Well, here we are again. I'm going to share on some on the soul, but in a way I've never done it before. The Lord gave me this morning. I said, I spent a couple hours walking around praying, saying, Lord, if you don't do it, I can't. And I had no idea where we were going to go. And then I sat down at the table and opened. I'd been sitting there with my Bible and looking, you know, and so forth, and talking to the Father. And so then all of a sudden I knew He began to show me. So here we go. So if you will, I've titled this The Soul of Man. The Soul of Man, right. The Lord was showing me that we have been calling our soul back, and we need to do that, but He began to show me why we haven't gotten it all back, that there are things we must do.
Explain why we don't have it.
Okay, I'm going to do that too, but I'm going to go with that. But I'm going to share what the Lord gave me this morning. So if you will, open your Bibles to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. God wants us to be restored. Verse 23, He says, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. So He wants us restored of spirit, soul, and body. And you know, I think yesterday a couple of times I said something about this 23rd Psalm. I've been talking a long time and I get dry, so forgive me. But anyways, let's go to the 23rd Psalm. Let's look at it. I'm going to give you a scripture and I want you to just look at it, and we're going to see what the Lord says to us about it. He said, when we were in the denominational churches, most every one of them talked about the 23rd Psalm. He restoreth our soul. He said, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And the Lord was showing me this morning when I was reading that. He said, look at the word righteousness. And He said, righteousness is our right standing with Him, and the only righteousness we have is His. And He said, to restore, to have your soul restored, we've got to do what He tells us to do. We've got to be obedient to the Word. And over in, I'm going to this, show you how the soul is torn and how it's removed, parts of it removed. But before I get into that, I want to give you some scripture on what He gave me. He said, we start with forgiveness. Go back to Psalm 23 before I go to forgiveness and ask why your soul needs to be restored. Because the Word says in Psalm 7, which I'm going to in a little bit, but I'll say it to you now, that while we were unbelievers, He said this enemy came around and shredded the soul while there was none to deliver. And when He shredded the soul, you know, 1 Peter talks about, the enemy goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, he wants our soul because that's us. The soul consists, according to Hebrews chapter, I'll give you the Hebrew word for the soul. It's 53:15 in the concordance. And it says, the soul is the breath, a breathing creature. It's vitality. It's your vitality. You know, I've been asking the Lord why I stayed so tired. I said, Lord, I'm tired all the time. I'm sick of being tired all the time. I'm tired of being tired. And so it just began to make sense with me. And I said, thank you, Lord. But see, it's part of our vitality. It's our senses. It's our senses, our appetite, our heart, our mind, it's pleasure. It's us, self. Our will, our mind, our will and emotion. Our soul is who we are. You know, we're spirit beings, but when God talks to us in our spirit, in our heart, it has to filter up through our soul so we can understand what he's saying. And so the enemy wants to remove and take the soul, which he has done, and God wants to restore it so we can be open to him and understand him more clearly. And he says he restores our soul. So when I first found this out, that I was looking at Psalms 23, and I said, Lord, why did my soul need to be restored? I mean, I never even considered what it was, because did you ever think of what the soul is? Did you ever think about it like that? I didn't. But anyways, he said, he restores our soul. And I said, well, I want all my soul back, but I don't understand this. And every time I've taught this, I've had people say, well, I never heard that or something like that. But listen, it's the word of God. He restores our soul. He said he would do it, and he does it. But the enemy doesn't want us to have it. And so over in Matthew chapter 6, and this is the way the Lord taught it to me this morning. Again, I've been teaching it for years. But in Matthew chapter 6, you know, when the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray, and he gave them the model prayer. But I want you to go to 6, verse 14. Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, we got into this upstairs this afternoon on anger. And anger, and go along with anger, is unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment and all of this. We had a lot of deliverance up there. So we had to forgive, though. You have to forgive people that hurt you. You know, I prayed that yesterday afternoon, living or dead, when we started into deliverance. And so God began to show me, he said, all the places where you know, and I'm going to show you how the soul is removed and what consists of it being removed, that when you've done or committed these things that causes your soul to be removed, you need to repent before God and ask him to forgive you. You see, we just do a blanket forgiveness. You know, I just forgive everybody. Lord, I don't always know who all I need to forgive, but you know, if you ask the Lord, he'll show you. And so he began to tell me this morning, he said, the reason we don't have all of our soul back after we pray and ask the Lord to restore it, it's because we're not willing to confess we've done anything wrong. We do not want to admit, if we can help it, that we've sinned, but we do. And God said to me, he said, you've got to forgive, and you've got to forgive the ones that hurt you, and then you've got, if he tells me, I'll go to them and tell them that I forgive them. But you see, he said, you've got to be, look at yourself and see what you did to cause this. We don't want to admit we do anything wrong. You know, children say, well, so-and-so made me do it, or he did it, I didn't do it, you know. And we're just like kids, we're God's kids. And we don't want to say, Father, it was me that did this. I did it. Forgive me, and ask God to forgive us. And if we sin against someone else, then we need to ask them to forgive us. I think the biggest thing I was thinking when I was sitting there studying it this morning, I said, Lord, I've been wondering why I'm so tired. And my vitality part of me, evidently the enemy got a hold of it. He took part of my soul. I said, how did he do it? Our biggest enemy is this thing right here. We open our mouth. My husband used to say, I think he was talking about me, but he didn't say so. He said, talking about somebody else. He said, every time, he says, when they're around, if their tongue's not flapping in the breeze, they think that you know, nothing's happening or something. I forgot how he said it, something about being idle. And I said, that's my problem. I talk too much. I'm by myself. I talk to the Lord, but when I get around people, I talk too much. But I'm learning. I'm learning that all I got to do is talk to the Lord, and I don't have to be concerned about anything else. He's my comforter. He's my guide. He goes with me wherever I go. Thank God. But anyway, it's awful quiet in here. Can you see what I'm trying to say to you this afternoon? Forgiveness in the area of, Lord, I sinned and I want my soul back. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And this is something else the Lord showed me this morning, sitting there at the table. He said, let me see, here we go. In verse, I'm going to start with verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, people have been asking me, different ones have asked me, you know, how does the enemy do this, and so forth and so on. But, you know, over in Proverbs, it tells us that life and death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we're either losing life to people or losing death to them when we let it flap in the breeze, you know, so to speak. And when we do that, we don't know. You know, I've been told by demons, I don't know whether it be true or not, but sometimes I think it must be, that every one of us has had a power assigned to us to watch us. I don't know whether everybody or just people that do deliverance. I really don't know. They didn't explain. I didn't ask because I wasn't going to accept it. But sometimes I think there must be some little ones following us, because it seems like, you know, when you open your trap, you might say things you shouldn't. You know that? Did you know that the word Bible talks about against joking, telling jokes, that it's against a lot of things that we do that we don't think anything about. And God tells us it's not right. He doesn't mean for us to go around with a sour face. He means for us to go around in love, walking in love and enjoying life. And so he's trying to get us there so we can. And through deliverance, we get rid of a lot of this garbage that we need to get rid of. But he said here, let no corrupt communications come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm not through with that scripture yet, but I'm going to stop and talk about this one. You know, if we sin, we grieve the Spirit of God. Because he didn't set that there. Paul didn't put that there, just so to put something in the Word. And you know, I said this before. I preached to my sons, my boys. I got three big boys. You sing big boys. You know, seeing big boys, you see all three of mine together. But when they come over, I preach to them. Maybe the reason they don't come very often. I don't care. They do, though, when they can. And I preach to them, and I tell them, I said, you know what? If you agree with the Holy Spirit, he won't talk to you until you repent. He will not talk to you. If you grieve him, he will not talk to you till you repent. And I ask him to forgive me when he tells me something, and if I miss it, if I don't do it, I said miss it. Then you see, I'm explaining. I'm taking, you know, justifying what I do. See, that's terrible, but that's what I miss it sometimes when he tells me something. If you ever have the Holy Spirit tell you not to go somewhere, just, you know, and you go on anyway, you just better not. You get in trouble when you do. But you have to go back and say, and repent. Say, Lord, I sinned, and I say, Holy Spirit, forgive me. I'm sorry that I grieved you. You say, you're just being too dogmatic. No, I ain't got there yet, but I'm on my way. God, with God's help, I want to be where God wants me. And I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm trying to be truthful and see what the Word says so we can be what we say we are. Paul said, you and I are maybe the only epistle some people read. They may never open the Bible and they look at us and we say we're Christian, we're believers, and we're deliverance, we believe in deliverance, we believe in this, we believe in that, but they look at our life sometime and say, hey, I don't want to be like y'all. Had people tell me about people in church that, when I go out on visitation, well, I don't want to go to that church. I know that some of those people there, and I live better lives than they do. That's a slap in the face, isn't it, to God, that we can't be what he wants us to be. He loves us. He just wants us to show his love. Are y'all with me, or have y'all gone home? Praise the Lord. Thanks. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And so we say, Lord, forgive me. And he does. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, when we confess our sin, we need to appropriate the blood. Lord, you took all this upon the cross, and I thank you for forgiving me for it. And he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, in the Baptist church where I used to go, and we knew that verse 9, we used it a lot. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just. But you know, I found that God wants me to repent. He doesn't want me to confess that sin, then walk back out and do it again. And repentance means you confess it. You confess that your sin, you repent of it, and you turn around and you go another direction. You don't walk back out and do that same thing again. He said, man, you sure whipping us. He said, no, I'm not trying to. I'm trying to show you we need to get all of our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion, everything, our vitality back, our energy back. And we'll get it back as we obey God's word. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know, I hear words coming out of people's mouths that are ministers that ought not come out. It's disgusting to me. I don't know how it fits with the Lord. I'm sure it don't fit very well. But they say things and I really don't think sometimes they even realize the thing. I know I do. I don't use ugly words. I try not to. I mean, I never did. Even when I was a sinner, I'd been lost and I didn't do that. But we say things we shouldn't sometimes. But we need to stop it. We need to watch. We need to clean our language up. Okay, let's go on. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 3. Send us some deliverance when we get through with this if anybody wants it. And you know, as I'm talking, I'm believing that the Holy Spirit will begin to show you some things that you need to really repent of. Repentance is something I don't hear a whole lot preached anymore. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist in verse 1 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, John told it like it was. He said, repent, repent. And then in verse 8, he said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. If we repent of the things we've done, then we change and walk away from them, don't we? And we don't go back and do them again. And I find that unless you truly repent, you will go back and do them again. Amy or oh my one, I don't know which. But God says we need to confess our sins, but we need to forget. We need to repent. I was telling one time a lady came to brought her daughter to our house. Jim and I was just new in the deliverance. It's been 25 years ago, I guess. And I have no idea what the child had been through. She wasn't a little girl. She was an adult or just almost. She was still at home. And her mother brought her to our house. And then the mother left. And so she went to minister to her. And we were ministering to her. And the Lord said that she needed to forgive her mother. And I had no idea why, but God didn't tell me that. He just told me to tell her she needed to forgive her mother. And so I did. And I said to her, I don't even remember the girl's name. I remember her mother, but I don't remember the girl. And she said, I won't forgive her. I won't, I won't, I won't. I can't. I said, yes, you can. She said, no, I can't. I can't forgive her. You don't know what she did to me. And I said, no, and I don't need to know, but God knows. And he said, you need to forgive her. And she said, I won't. I said, that's what you've been saying all along. You won't, you don't want to. She said, well, I can't. I said, yes, you can. I said, forgiveness is an act of your will. It didn't say you feel like it or you don't feel like it. You do it. And she said, okay, so we led her through a prayer of forgiveness, and then we ministered deliverance to her. God didn't tell me, and I didn't ask whatever it was, but she had been this pretty real bad, because I knew she lived with her grandmother's son. But God did a work in her, because she was willing to forgive her mother, and it was an act of her will. And you know, sometimes people do things to us, and we think, well, you just don't understand. No, I don't, but God does. But you see, I started off with, in Matthew 6, that he said, we're to forgive. And if we don't forgive, he won't forgive us. That in itself ought to make us get on our knees and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Amen? We want God's forgiveness, and all we've got to do is obey Him and obey His word, to repent, ask Him to forgive us, and if He tells us to, if we need to forgive someone, we need to forgive them. And if He tells us to go to Him, Peter asked, Jesus said, how many times a day, how often should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? 7 times 7? He thought he was really saying something. Jesus said, not but 70 times 7, 490 times. That could be in an hour if it had happened. Jesus said, in other words, he's saying it's an endless thing. You forgive, because that's what he brought us to walk in, is forgiveness. He forgave us all our sins. All, I mean everything. And he put them in the deepest part of the sea. Okay, let's go to Psalm 7. Did you know, before you came to the Lord, that you belong to the God of this world? Ephesians 2 tells us that. Said that we were children of wrath, walking under the God of this world, prince of this power of this world. So while we were yet sinners in Christ, before we received what Christ did for us upon the cross, Psalm 7 tells us, and David is saying here, you remember David? He said, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rend it in pieces while there's none to deliver. Even as a believer, I believe that there are times when the enemy can take a part of your soul simply because believers get into sin and they won't repent and get out of it and walk away from it. You know, I think sometimes that the churches have made God look like Santa Claus, that all we got to do is say, you know, anything we want, God will give it to us. And nothing's required of us. But God wants us to love Him, to obey Him. You want your kids to obey you, don't you? Well, we're God's kids, and He wants us to obey His word. That's not hard to do, is it? It'll make people look at you and look at you strange and persecute you and all of that. Brother was talking about somebody, I think, this morning about not having Christmas. I don't do Christmas, and my neighbors know it. They already knew I was weird and strange, you know, but now they know. I proved it to them. I told them I don't do Halloween, and that's me. Now, you do it, and I'm not condemning what other people do, but the thing is, I want to please God, and I want to be what God wants me to be, and I'm a long ways from it, but I really want to be there. I want to get there. So, obeying His word. If we need to obey God, we rebel. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Sure do that. I think every one of us has done it. And he said here in verse 3, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without a cause is my enemy. Now you see, that scripture there tells us that when we have done these things, if we have gone against someone without a cause, if we have done this, and then we have opened the door for the enemy to come and do what he wants to do. Take the soul, tear your soul, rend it in pieces. And the scripture said in the second verse, said, while there was none to deliver. Let me tell you something. Today people don't believe their soul can be restored. That their soul is torn and fragmented. You can have a soul tie and get yourself so tied to another person. I'll give you a scripture on that in a little bit. That you're bound to them by soul ties. And God wants us to be free. He wants us to walk. Listen, you know what? We have a soul tie with God. You didn't know that, did you? Scripture says so. I'll give it to you later. That's the one we want. Man, well, when he breathed the breath of life into me, Adam in the Genesis 2, man, he breathed into Adam. He made him in his image. He made us out of the dirt. I said like this. Had Adam lying there, you know, he made his body out in the dirt, you know, the mud and all that. Then he picked him up, got him face to face, and breathed into him the breath of life. Like a balloon he inflated in. But he put a part of himself in there. That's the soul, and that's why that the enemy has tried to destroy it. You know, if you don't believe that the enemy can do it, look around at some of the people today, some of the children today, some of the adults that have been on drugs, street drugs and cocaine and whatever all else. I don't know what all that is, but all the stuff is, but they get on it and they lose their soul. That destroys their mind. why do you think that people have nervous breakdowns and they put them on all these drugs and they fill them full of drugs so they walk or they and the enemy can just walk in? Let me tell you, on those nine open drugs, the enemy can come in. That's an open door. I heard, I think it was Dr. Marcus Haggard, years ago, he came to our church years ago, and he said that anything, any drug that altered your mind opened the door for the enemy. And I believe that. Because when my son was on drugs years ago, his eyes literally looked like they were going to pop out of his head. And he, of course, I didn't know anything about what all he was doing. I knew that he had drank, or they was drinking, but I didn't know about the drugs until later. But you know, when he got saved and he came came and lived with us for 9 months, I used to sit with him every night and do deliverance on him. Every night and call his soul back. And I had to go after alcohol. You guys ever been drinkers? Let me tell you something. My son drank Budweiser beer. I think that's what it was. He called it Bud. So I was doing deliverance on him one night. He said, "Mother, get this alcoholic spirit off me." And I said, "What is it? What kind?" I said, "You know, I was thinking liquor and wine, stuff like that." He said, he always drank Bud. So I broke a soul tie with him and that thing and called his soul back. And I called that thing out of him. And God delivered him from it. But then he began to tell me some other things he'd drank and things he'd, you know. I really didn't want to deliver my own son because I really didn't want to know a lot of things I learned, you know. But God did, we worked for months at night after his dad would come in from work and we would work on him and we ministered deliverance to him. Today he heads a mission, streetless people, homeless people, and he's in Little Rock. But, and my other son works with him there. And God delivered him four years ago, this other son. This other son of mine, I should tell you what I know about drugs, why I hate drugs so bad. My other son worked for DuPont, made lots of money. My other son had made a lot of money and lost it all in drugs, doing drugs and so forth. But this son worked for DuPont and had made good money, ended up losing his home, his wife, his everything he had from drugs. And we had tried to help him and done all we could for him, and everything you do for him, it just went right back into the same thing, which we didn't know at that time. We thought he was doing better, but he wasn't. But anyways, I'll tell you the whole thing. He ended up in jail, and he got beat up, and he came back. They sent him to the hospital. When he came back from the hospital, he came to our house. He said, he was pitiful. My heart just nearly broke, but I wouldn't let him know it. Jim and I did something that was so hard, but we had tried so long to help him. And, he said, "Mother, I even had my shoes stolen while I was in the hospital." Said he had on a short and a pair of pants. He said they didn't belong to him, neither did the shoes. They got them from his hospital. And he came out, he said he was going to stay with us about 3 months. And his dad said, "No, you can't stay." My husband was still sick then, and I was taking care of him. And, but we talked to him, we told him he had been blaming everybody else for his problems, and he was his own problem, that we loved him, but we didn't love what he was, and we couldn't take care of him anymore. He had had to go. You think that's easy? It wasn't. Jim and I both talked to him, and we told him we loved him, and said, "Son, we love you, but we can't help you. You don't want help, and so you won't help. Nobody can help you." And I'm telling you this to show you how the enemy works. And so, he went, my son that runs the mission sent after him from Little Rock. He sent a car for him and took him, I told this before here, he took him to Salvation Army. They didn't take him to my son's mission. My middle son said when he got to Little Rock and found out he wasn't going to my other son's mission, he said, "Mother," he said, "it hit me where I was." He said, "I knew you and Dad had told me." We didn't know that each one of us had told him the same thing. I was out in the yard working with my roses, and I had talked to him, and he'd gone in the house where his father was lying down, and was talking to his dad, and his dad told him the same thing I did. And he said, "I thought about you too, and how much you tried to help me." And he said, "And here I was, nobody wanted me. My own brother didn't want me at his mission." He got saved that night. He got saved that night. I'm telling you, he really got saved. And let me tell you, the light of the glory of God's on him right today. So he was at my house just a few weeks ago, and he calls me and gives me reports of what God's doing. He is so excited. He said, he came to me and he said, "Mother, I feel like I'm losing my first love, and I've got to get it back." And so we prayed, and he stayed with me 7 or 8 days, and he said, "Mother, I got it. And he is just on fire. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's hard. This is what you call tough love. But you see, until he was ready and he repented, God supernaturally delivered him from drugs. Alcohol and drugs. I'm telling you, and he is it's just beautiful to see him. And what I really praise the Lord for, my husband got to see it before he died. It happened before my husband died. And he got to see him. He came back to see his dad, and neither one of us, we almost didn't recognize him. He looked so different. I'm not kidding. All that evil that he had been involved in, and you know who he's preaching the most to? His children. He's got 3 children, and he is preaching to them. He's also preaching to the men at the mission. He's something else. God's going to use him. I know he's using the other one. I know he's going to use that one. But you see, when you get on drugs and your mind is blown, literally, you lose your soul. So the enemy comes and takes it. And he tears it. He don't get it all at one time. He just gets a little piece here and a little piece there. And God wants to restore it. He wants us to have all that he's given. Don't you want your soul back like you were when you were created in your mother's womb? That's what I always pray when I'm praying for my Lord. I want my soul back. Every part of you know where it is. You know where every piece of it is. And so, see, I was wanting to know why at times I was, I don't want to give the enemy any credit. Let me see. You know, if you forget things and you do things automatically and you sometimes forget what you were doing, you know, and so forth. So I said, "Lord, what is that?" And he said, "Get the rest of your soul back." So the enemy has come in. That's what some of his point. He said, "Now go back and repent of anything that you did and said and shouldn't have done, and ask forgiveness and close the door so the enemy can't get any of your soul." And Peter says that we're to commit the keeping of our soul to Jesus Christ, that he will, but we've got to, it's an act of doing it, commit the soul to him. You know, I never do deliverance on people until after I get through. If I work on very long, I break soul tie with them. You say, "Why do you do that?" Because I don't want to be bound to them. If I was bound to somebody, I couldn't do what I need to do. I'd be bound to an individual. Sometimes, some people I work on, especially in a church, a lot, you know. So I break soul ties, and they do too. I've taught them to break soul ties and get their soul back, because we don't want it fragmented. I know that people think I go to the extreme with the soul, but let me tell you, my soul is who I am. My soul and my spirit one day will go home to be with Jesus. My husband used to say, "We're going to unzip this earth suit, and then we're going to leave, if Jesus tarries. But if he comes, I'm waiting for him to come back. I'm planning to be here for a while yet. Until Jesus comes." Well, he promised us 120 years. I think he promised an evil, wicked man 120 years. So I said, "Lord, you're no respecter of persons. I want everything you promised me, and everything I've got, it's mine, and I'm claiming it. I'm not only claiming it, I'm possessing it, little by little. Because we have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." The Lord says, "Well, okay, let's read some more of this." He said, "Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust." Now, I want to tell you something. I've told this up here before, but I don't tell you, so a lot of new people here, so I'm going to tell it again. We have a lady in our church that we've been ministering to, and she got delivered from 16 false personalities and the ruler over those personalities years ago. And every one of those personalities came out of her. We had to break a soul tie between her and that personality. And the personality that she had was a personality that came up in her when she was trying to please. She had been, had some love problems. She'd been abused as a child and a lot of stuff. And she felt, and she, her father, I didn't I teach up there yesterday on the rejection that comes in the womb. I think I did. She had, her father had wanted a boy, and she was born a girl. So she felt rejected from the beginning. And then she was molested when she was 4 years old. And all these false personalities came in through her trying to win somebody's approval. She felt, see, she couldn't receive love or give love because of the rejection. And her, and she felt like the only way she could get love from them was to do something special for them. And the, through it, somewhere or another, she had gotten this soul tie, and this spirit had come in, this personality. And it, and the first one came in that told her that he would protect her. I think I said that yesterday. But the thing, what I want to say, tell you is that her soul had been fragmented into 16 pieces in those personalities in her. You had to be there to know what I'm talking about. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But see, our soul can get fragmented a lot of ways. We get bound to someone, and the soul gets tied together. Some of you guys have heard a lot of this, so you know that you've heard it enough that you can search the scriptures, see if it be true or not, okay? Psalms 19 tells us that the soul can be restored by God's word. That's why I was, as the Lord gave this to me this morning, he was saying, as we obey the word in forgiving and breaking soul ties and calling our soul back, that, and obey what the word says. He says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, but sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. As we obey the word of God and say, Lord, I repent. I have seen just sitting and repenting over things that I did, said, actions, and ask God to forgive me, I would begin to get deliverance. Now, let me say this. I think I forget it every time I teach on someone. I'm not going to forget this time. The devil doesn't ever take anything when he don't give you something in place of it. Okay? The devil doesn't take anything from you unless he gives you something in place of it. And he always gives you something in place of when he takes a portion of your soul, he gives you a spirit in there. But see, this is what those personalities were. They were demons. And this girl. And I didn't know that. I was so smart, I didn't know what I was dealing with. You know, God began to show me. I would minister deliverance to this, was ministering deliverance to this girl, and a spirit, something would take over her, the spirit would take over her, and her whole countenance would change. She would not look like herself. And I'd look at her and I'd think, my goodness, what is this? And I'd say, finally, I'd say, who are you? And that thing would just look at me and say, just little old me. I didn't want to hit her. I heard that so many times, and I couldn't get the thing out. I didn't know what it was. It was awful. It just sit there and say, just little me. And every time. So I thought, Lord, what in the world am I dealing with? And I'm talking about how smart I was. See, this is early in deliverance, learning deliverance. I would hear the Lord. He'd say, call it out. And I'd say, but what is it? And the demon would say, just little old me. And finally, one day, the Lord said to me, it's telling you who it is.
Little old me.
Little old me. No, I said, well, what are you talking about, Lord? Father, he said, call it out by her name. So I said, call her name. And I said, okay, you come out of there. Who are you anyways? He said, boy, you are, that demon says, you sure are stupid. You know, and I thought, yeah, I sure have been, you know. You really feel dumb. It's telling you all the time. And so I said, well, you come out of there. And he says, not till you get my number. I said, what's your number? Of course, you know, I didn't know what it was. And she never wanted you to talk about witchcraft. She said, I don't believe in witchcraft. And she'd come in and she said, I don't believe in it. And the Lord told me, he said, 13. You know, and 13 is rebellion, it's also witchcraft. And I said, you so-and-so 13, come out of there. And that thing said, who told you that? You come out of there. Well, I had to break some tie with the individual who she began to look like. But that number, that girl 13 came out, that spirit 13 came out, and every one of those demons came out by number. And then we got the ruler out. But her soul was tied in with that thing. And she told me, she would, now I'm telling you this, tell you how the soul is removed. Because she would tell me after she had had several of those spirits. See, those demons were acting as her. They were taking her over. And she was walking with them being her. And she'd come to me and she'd say, Mildred, I don't know who I am. Well, I didn't know what to do. You know, I'm doing what the is happening. And I said, well, let's pray and see what the Lord says. I said, I don't know. I said, we got to get those things out. She said, I know, but these things in me, there's so many of them in there, said, I don't really know who I am. So I got to praying, and I said, Lord, I don't understand this. And I said, Father, why is this like this? And he told me that the reason that they came out like that, he said, you can't get them all out at one time, because if you did, she wouldn't know who she was. She would have no personality. He said, when these things came in, he said, they took her over, and the real, she herself has got to understand how to keep them out. And you've got to fill her up with the word, she's got to know the word, and you've got to get her filled with it so she can protect herself. And it took a while to get those out. They didn't just come out like that. If one of them gave us a hard fight till we found out how they got in, and they would come, these numbers would tell us they came in through a certain member of the family, and we'd break a soul tie through that family and call her soul back, and then that thing would leave. But the funny thing about the thing was when we found out who the person was, she began to act and talk like that person. And when she got them all out, God freed her from all of that. Man, I'm telling you, talking about somebody loving the Lord and seeking the Lord, full of love. That girl is so full of love right now. It's just beautiful to see. But it took a lot of work. And see, I learned a lot about the soul in doing that. Nah, it was all Greek to me. First time I ever heard it, I was ready to run. I said, Lord, I was a good Baptist. I still was Holy Ghost. But I said, Lord, I never heard anything like this. I said, I think I've gotten the wrong place. I heard some went down to a deliverance church, and they were talking about the soul. They wasn't talking about what I'm talking about. They were talking about soul ties. But the Lord began to show me, even at the beginning of this, when I started learning about the soul, that I was to call that soul tie out. And I never heard anybody else do it. But I could not see just breaking it, because I thought, well, Lord, if we break it, if you cut it in two, they go to meditating or get, you know, it can go grow back together, can't it? And he said, call it out. So we did. So you do what you want to. I'll just tell you what I did, what I still do. I still know it works. Okay, going on. Where were we? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Whew, it's warm in here. Chapter 6 and verse 20. He said, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continuously upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instructions are the way of life. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids, for by means of a horsewoman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulterer will hunt for the precious life. If I speak something against myself, I break the curse of it and ask God to forgive me and repent of it. Because sometimes we say things like, we're too heavy, we're too tall, we're too this, or we're too that. I told the girls the other day, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I have tried and tried to lose some weight. Lord, I give up. If you'll just let me help me love myself, forgive me for not loving myself, and I'll just forget all about that. Man, I got more freedom after I did that. You know, well, I'm expecting to get skinny again. Can't get too skinny to show my wrinkles. Praise the Lord. Break Christian words. I don't have wrinkles. God's renewing my strength day by day. Glory. Catch myself. Told you. Let's go over verse 32. But whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Okay? Adultery destroys the soul. He's talking about how the soul gets removed. when you commit adultery, when you fornicate or have sex outside of marriage, you are tied to that individual through sex act. You have a soul tie with them. And I will show you in a minute just how strong that thing is. He said it destroys the soul, and it also takes your understanding. That's part of your soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. If you have committed adultery, you need to repent, confess it as sin, break a soul tie with the person you committed it with. I don't care if it was when it was. You need to break a soul tie with them, because you went through the sex act, you became one with them, and you had formed a soul tie with them. Not only with them, but with everybody they've ever had sex with. Going on. For jealousy is the rage. Is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. We know that through adultery, you destroy your soul. That means that portions of your soul can be totally destroyed. God's word says that. He says he destroys the soul. Okay. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. Y'all getting tired of hearing me? Tomorrow Doc's going to be here, and I get to sit back and watch him. I assume he's going to be here. He better be here. We go get him if he is. Praise the Lord. In chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Now the heart is part of the soul. I just told you that over in when I read what the concordance says about the soul. It's not this heart that pumps. It's the centermost being. Excuse me? Of Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. And he said, verse 11 says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. In other words, alcohol does too. It takes away parts of your soul. My people, I have counsel at their stock, and their staff declare unto them, for the spirit of whoredom has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountain and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, and because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredom and your spouses shall commit adultery. And that, to me, that's a picture of sins of the fathers. Down there where it says if you're committing whoredom, drinking, taking the wine, new wine, and it tells us that it takes away the soul. Okay, let's go look at another way the soul is removed. Go to Ezekiel 13. I found this one out when I was doing deliverance one time. I was casting, doing some deliverance on someone, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Ezekiel 13, in verse 7 is where I'm going to start. He said, this demon I was after was called the Hunter of Souls. Well, I never heard of it before. But I'd heard the Lord, so I went after the Hunter of Souls, and we threw that thing out of someone. I don't remember who I was working with, but I said, okay, Lord, I want to know where it is in the Word. And so he gave me this scripture. It says, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy of their own hearts and prophesy thou against them. I'm going to start with this. If you go sit under a false prophet and you try to walk in what this prophet is telling you to do, you get a soul tie with them, and you open yourself up to the enemy, because if you read the first part of this chapter, it talks about the false prophet. And verse 18 says, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the heads of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? And there Ezekiel is talking about God's people. He said, will you hunt the souls of my people? People say, well, I'm a Christian, the devil can't touch me. I wish that was true. Lord, I wish that was true. We're in a war. If you're not fighting the battles that God's called Christians into, you're sinning. There's a scripture over in, where is it? I can't remember what it is. It's Jeremiah, I think, 50 verse 10 or something, or 10:50, I can't remember what it is. It talks about that we're to fight. You can come under a curse from not fighting the Lord's battles. And he said, and will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save alive the souls that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against your pillars wherewith ye dare hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. God said that they hunt the souls of God's people. They already have the others. Now, I read that verse back up there that said, verse 19 said, will you pollute me among the people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die? Do you know of people that have died that was too young and they seemed healthy and all of this? Okay. It's talking about when they take the soul and they loose death on them and they cause them to die. And he said, and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies. Do you know many people in the nursing home that are in terrible shape that would be better off to go, but they're still alive? Well, can you understand that they need to be released? If somebody wanted to sit and do deliverance on them and call their soul back, it would do wonders. But you see, the enemy keeps these little people alive because it causes problems in the home. It costs a lot of money, and it's a terrible thing. I have seen people in the nursing home that would be drawn up just in a fetal position, didn't know they were in the world, that would be much better off to die. And so this scripture tells us that the soul has been removed through witchcraft. They hunt God's people's soul to destroy them, to take parts of them, to work curses on them. People don't believe in witchcraft and Satanism, but they do that. You know, there's a tape somewhere here that Norman Parrish did, and he was talking about a man that made about everyone he got mad at. He was a photographer, and he'd take pictures of them, and he'd take those pictures and put them down in his dark room, and he'd put them in jars. And he loosed curses of death and sickness on them, and a lot of them died. And the man came to the Lord. Norman Parrish was telling this on one of his tapes. I don't remember which one it is. But he said that the man, he ministered to the guy, and he got saved. And they went, and the guy told him what he had been doing. He said, he'd seen people walk down the street that looked perfectly healthy, and next thing he knew, they were dead. And he told that guy, he said, you got to do something about that. And Norman said he didn't know how to restore the soul, so they just went and he took all these jars that had these pictures in them and literally brought part of the soul in there. I don't know how he did that, but I know that that's what he said. And Norman said they took them out behind the house or down the hill or somewhere, and they broke them and said, Lord, he repented of what he'd done, asked God to forgive him, and said, God, heal those people and restore. And he said the next time he saw some of those people that had looked so bad, they were just healthy as they could be. And so we don't know what all the devil has against us, and we need to learn how to stand. As I was telling the girls upstairs, sometimes I get attacked over my eyes and I have a hard time seeing, and I go after witchcraft because it's what it is. It's like the enemy doesn't want you to see, they want you to read the word, and someone other they'll loose a curse on you. He said, well, how to do that? Well, I don't know. I'm not in that league, and I don't really want to know, but I know when something hits me, I go after witchcraft. I go after witchcraft when sickness hits me. You know, pain or whatever. I go after witchcraft. I say, well, you're strange. Well, I hope so. And one day I'm going to know how they're doing it, and I'm going to ask the Lord to save them. I didn't ask the Lord to save them. I bless them. I used to send their curses back. And they keep bugging me with it. And I'll tell you what, I get real raunchy sometimes. And when I fought it until I get tired, I'll say, Lord, I need a rest. I'm sending this back. Psalms 109 says, they that love curses, let it return unto them. I don't want them to, but if they're deliberately doing that to me, you betcha. So pray for me. I need a lot. Okay. I tell you that you get tired of the battle sometimes. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Man and his wife cut a covenant when they are married, and they become one. And that's what marriage is about. That's why adultery, and that's why the sex sins are so such an abomination to God. Because you see, the marriage is a picture of the marriage of the bride of Christ. They become one. That's what God wants us to do, is to become one with Jesus. And so the marriage, so the devil tries it. He's perverted it every way he can. And he's done a good job. And there's so much sickness and sin in the sex now that it's destroying, if the devil's trying to destroy everything God intended. He brought the divorces. Now, if you've had a divorce, I'm not against you. I'm telling you something. God says confess it and bless you, he'll bless you. But let's look at why the devil has worked so hard against marriages. Because he wants them to have divorce. He wants them separated. He does. And so, let me say this before we leave Genesis. When my husband died, we've been married 55 years. I felt like I had been torn half into. I was ripped. Such pain I have never in all my life felt in my heart. And it was because we were one. We had cut a covenant. See, there's bloodshed to the covenant. And we made a covenant with one another. And when he died, then I was, for two years, I felt like just half a person. It took me a little over 2 years to get even halfway back to normal. I'm almost back to normal. It's been three now. I don't know. I'm on my way. You know what I'm talking about, though, because it hurts so bad. There's such pain. I had to pray that God would take the pain away. I said, Lord, I can't endure this. I can't go on. I didn't want to go on. I wanted to die, and I had to repent of that and ask God to forgive me. It was awful. But this is a picture, though, of the marriage between man and woman is a picture of the bride of Christ, that we're his bride, and he wants us to be one. You know, the Lord gave me this scripture in John this morning, in John 17, when he was talking to me about this. And I've always believed this different from everybody else. I know it's like they say, but it's also what the Lord showed me. In John chapter 17 and verse 21, Jesus said, that they may be one as thou, Father, are in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, we are one with him. I said, you know, we're part of the body of Christ. All people, Christian people, are part of the body of Christ. But through the different beliefs, we never can be one with them. And I know people use that scripture and say that we're to be each body of one, to be the body of Christ. Well, see, we're part of the body, that's true. But God wants us to be one with him. Jesus is in the Father. The Father's in him. How do you say? That they may be one as thou, Father, are in me, the Father's in Jesus, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And so, we want to be, we're married. I believe when you come to really know Jesus, you're married to him. He told me when I lost my husband, he says, I'll be your husband. He says, I'm a husband to the widow and a father to the fatherless. And I said, Lord, I come under both. You know, you can have my father and my husband. Because I don't have any family left, any sisters or brothers. They're all gone. But see, God wants us to be, we have a soul tie with him. I'm just going to show you that. Okay? I'm not there yet. I was going back to talking about the marriage. My marriage is so important to God. Over in Matthew chapter, I better hurry. Let me see. Okay, Matthew chapter 19. And any of you that's gone through divorce, you know what I'm talking about with the pain. I don't know who's here, but you know that has. But I know you know the pain. Because it brings pain when there's separation. And in verse 5, I believe that's what I want. Now, three. The Pharisees came unto Jesus to him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And they said unto him, But why did Moses then command to give us writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to be put away, to put away your wives from you. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whosoever marries her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Now let me say this. If you have been divorced and remarried, you need to break soul tie between your ex-husband and call his soul back, and call his soul out of you, because you have a strong soul tie there, and you need to get free, totally free from it, because you see, that is the way the soul tie is formed. It's bound to them. You know, that word over there, cleave, if you look that up in the concordance, it tells knit together, tied. I mean, really, it's really tied. You're really bound. Okay, Psalms 103, verse 11. And this I want to give you because I don't want anybody to get under condemnation, because it shouldn't. Lord knows. Psalms 103 and verse 11 says, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we're dust. So, you know, just like everything else, when we go before the Lord and we ask the Lord to forgive us, he does, and he cleanses us. Matthew 5:31. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. 5:31. He said, It has been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, save him for the cause of fornication. I just read that. No, I didn't. That's the other one. Causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. And I know that some ministers that I know that have their wives divorced them, that they told me, and this is the way I feel about my husband. I'm still married. I got a husband in heaven. He said, they say that, you know, according to scripture, that their ex-wives remarried and then divorced, but they planned for them, and, you know, to help them overcome all this. But God says, I believe that this comes from sins of the fathers, divorce, you know, adultery, all these sins that I've talked about, they come down through sins of the fathers. We don't know what your father. Well, maybe you know more about your father than you do your grandfather, but you have no idea what your grandfather and grandmother did, great-grandfather or great-great. You don't know, and you're under those curses. See, if the church had been teaching and if we'd have known about this years ago, we wouldn't have all these problems we've got. Somebody would have taught it and we'd been taken care of and we'd been freed from it. And that's why the devil fights it so hard now, you know. I get a neighbor come in every once in a while, I don't talk to them about deliverance until they ask. And when they ask, I unload. I try not to be too strong, you know, but it's hard. I'm just me and they know it. And they get a dose and they go home and they wait a while and they come back. Okay. Leviticus 26. It says, if we confess our sins, let's go to Leviticus 26. I'm kind of trying to hurry now. 26 and verse 40. You know, I don't know that we always do this, and we really need to do this. It says, if they shall confess their iniquities, we are to confess our iniquities and the iniquities of their fathers with their trespasses, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I have also walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if they then their uncircumcised heart be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquities, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember, and I will remember the land. God said, if we confess the sins of our fathers, we don't know what they did, but I would tell you that if you've been through a divorce, that you need to confess the sins of your iniquities of your forefathers, repent of them, and get that thing off of you and off of yourself. Because and stop it so it won't go any further. It'll go down your children's life if you don't. They will walk in what you walk in. If we walk in the sins of our fathers, if we confess them and break the curses of them, we can get it off of our children. Okay, going on. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. Then thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shall thou serve, and to him shall thou cleave, and swear by his name. That scripture there, that word cleave, is the same one that's used over in Genesis 2:24, and it means that we're bound, tied, soul tied to the Lord God Almighty. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, and that has done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. We have a soul tie with God. Isn't that wonderful? That's one we don't want broken and can't break, and we're going to want it to get stronger each day. Chapter 11, 22. If you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do, them to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. Be tied to him. We're to be tied to the Lord our God through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. If we obey his word, he'll drive out those nations in us, those demonic spirits. Every place wherein the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost seas shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. If we obey him. And then in one more, Joshua 23. Joshua chapter 23, verse 10. One man of you shall chase a thousand. Are you chasing a thousand today? God's word says you will. For the Lord your God, he is the fighteth for you, as he has promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourself, that you love the Lord your God, else if you do not in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of those nations, even those that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of those nations from you, nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the good land which the Lord your God has given you. God said, if we don't get these things out, that they will become pricks in our eyes, we will not inherit the land. But God says, when we walk in the obedience to his word, that we will have, one will chase a thousand. Just think about how many of us is in here, how many we can chase. Whew. We can clean up a whole lot of nation, a lot of the enemy's territory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's do some deliverance. Let's go after those soul ties and, broken, the adult spirits of adultery and all of that. In the name of Jesus, Father God, pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come as your children. And Father, we come this afternoon and ask you for deliverance. You said in your word, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Father, we ask you to show us, reveal to us, any unforgiveness against anyone, living or dead. Father, we ask you to reveal any unknown sin and the sins that we know about. And Father, we repent of those sins and ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you for forgiveness, and we thank you for deliverance, even before we begin. Lord, you know our heart. You know our need. And we thank you for meeting every need. In Jesus' name. Father, I call back every soul, every portion of my soul. I break evil soul ties between everyone that I have soul ties with. I ask you, Father, to restore my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my ability, all that consists of my soul. Restore. You know where every part of it is. And we thank you for restoration. Restoring the soul, Father, as you, the way it was when we were conceived in our mother's womb. And we thank you. And we praise you. And we give you glory. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against every spirit of unforgiveness. Every spirit of unforgiveness. Loose them and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out of there. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. Resentment. Hatred. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of adultery. All sexual sins that are committed are with adultery. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Father, restore the soul, and I call the spirit of adultery out. Fornication. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you in Jesus' name. I call out the spirit of rejection in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call out every spirit of rejecting God's word. Disobedience. Disobeying the word of God. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Turn them loose and come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Come on out of there. Turn them loose. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call out every spirit of bitterness, every spirit of hatred, every spirit of hurt, all the hurt from rejection. Come out of there. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose and let them go. Come on, let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all the anger and frustration in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on, let them go in the name of Jesus. Now, the Lord won't separate you from your friends. Now, if you want them out, work on it. Call them out. Work from the inside and call them out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, spirits of idolatry, adultery, anger, wrath, I come against spirits of wine and new wine. In the name of Jesus Christ, all alcoholic spirits, come on out of there now in Jesus' name that destroys the soul. Come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. Spirits of whoredom, I call the hunter souls out, and witchcraft, let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, spirits of guilt and shame, come out of there. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. Come on out of there. All the spirits of fear, spirits of fear, mockery, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. Come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out of there. Turn them loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, resentment, hatred, rejection, self-rejection, self-hatred. Come out of there. Turn them loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, all the hurt, all the anger, resentment, pride, spiritual pride. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. All fears, little fears, big fears, all of the fear. Come out of there. Come out of them. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call it come against shame, hurt, anger, wrath, fear, in the name of Jesus. Spirits of mockery. Wine has mockery. If you've been drinking wine and have never gotten free from it, you can probably have a spirit of mockery that mocks God. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. I call out all of the spirits of anger. Anger at the mother and father. come out of there now. Frustration. In the name of Jesus, turn loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of disobedience, disobeying the word of God, come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. I call sin out. Did you know sin's a spirit? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind its power and call it out. Come on, get rid of it. Come on out there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that sin lies at the door. He's waiting for you to walk out so he can get you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come on out there. Let them go. Come on, let them go in the name of Jesus. All anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, hurt, shame and pain, come out of there. Spirits of pain, come on out of there now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there. Come on, let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Turn loose and come out of there. Come on out of there in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus, 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 let them go. Turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name. You know, I come against big fears, great fears, little fears, and tormenting fears in the name of Jesus. And all tormenting spirits, all those tormenting spirits, come on out of there. Tormenting thoughts, come out of them. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose. Let them go. Fear. Fear, all the fear, fear of snakes, fear of people, in the name of Jesus, all fears, let them go. Fear of disobedience, fear of no fear of God, in the name of Jesus. We need to fear our Father, in the name of Jesus, and fear him enough that we obey him. Come on out there, all spirits of disobedience, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on out there. Come on out there in Jesus' name. Thank you. I receive that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't he good? Well, isn't he good? Isn't he good? Isn't my Jesus good? Well, he sought me and he bought me and his holy word he taught me. Isn't my Jesus good? He's worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of praise is he. Worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of praise is he. He has redeemed me by the blood of the Lamb and set my spirit free. Worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of praise is he. He is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit. I bind up every spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask for the angels of the Lord to come cleanse the church, take every spirit to the bottomless pit and bind them in there to the day of judgment. And Father, let's raise our hands. Father, we just ask you to fill us afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Let the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit minister to each one of us in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ, and we praise you and give you all the glory for all you do for us day by day. In Jesus' name, I bind backlash and retaliation. And we just commit now the rest of the night, that evening, to you, Lord, that will bring glory to your name. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory. Father, we thank you for the food. We bless it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the ones that prepared it. I ask you a special blessing upon them, Father. And as we partake of the food, may we remember that how they have worked to serve us, help us in Jesus' name. And we break every curse over the food and we receive strength from it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.